Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome back to More Than That. This week was a strange week because I was not in service. I was at another church with some obligations there, so Trevor had the opportunity and the privilege of taking the third sermon within the Malachi series, and like I said, I wasn't there, so I'm going to turn it over to Trevor. So if you had an extra 10 minutes to introduce something new or explain something a little bit more, what would that have been?
Yeah, so one of the directions I thought about going with this sermon, but I decided not to because it would have taken a lot of context I would have brought to this, a lot of explaining of some background things, was looking at so if we're looking at the priests, what commandment are the priests breaking? Essentially was the question I was going to answer. And looking at this section, as I read it, there's a lot of verbiage that God uses of the priests not honoring or despising God's name. And so as I was looking at that, I thought that the commandment that the priests are primarily breaking is the third commandment, which is, do not take the Lord's name in vain. And the reason that I chose not to go that way is I had to explain what exactly that commandment means, because I think in our common, we both grew up in the church, right? And so...
You could say it, it's okay.
Sorry. I noticed, just so that everyone knows the inside joke, I noticed when I listened to my sermon yesterday to help me... improve on my sermon. I try to listen to it, and I realized in the first 5 minutes I said "and so" 1,000 times. So I publicly repent of saying "and so many times, and I will strive to remove that from my vernacular. Anyway,
it's not true repentance unless it is removed.
Yeah,
the next time you preach.
yeah, I cannot say it at all. but where was I? We grew up in the church. Learning the Ten Commandments, probably memorizing them or reciting them at least.
Mm-hmm.
I remember growing up in Sunday school, and we would walk through them, and always the Sunday school teacher would explain what it means to take the Lord's name in vain is, do not use, the Lord's name is a curse word.
Mm-hmm.
And he would usually say, I still feel very uncomfortable saying the phrase OMG. The actual words to that.
Yeah.
It's just in my bones. He would always say it, and I was like, but you just said it. And he's like, no, it's okay if I said it, because I'm using it as an example. I'm not actually in my mind, it was the same as, you get in trouble for having your eyes open during prayer, but the only way that they can know that your eyes are open is if their eyes are open. So it's like, is that okay?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's what... that's what we were taught, at least. That's what I was taught. I'm assuming it was something similar for you.
That's why I said go ahead and say it, because I knew exactly where you were going.
Yeah. But as I have learned more about this, I can't remember the name. I think she's a Biola professor, though. She might be. But she wrote her dissertation. There's someone, and I probably should have looked up the name before coming on the podcast, but wrote a very good dissertation that then became a book called Bearing God's Name. So yeah, you can look that up quick so we can get the name for everyone else. And her argument was essentially that the third commandment is, although she said we shouldn't irreverently use the Lord's name, and that is true, her argument was that actually it should be translated as, do not bear the Lord's name in vain. And so what that, or to do not
which
take
I,
up the Lord's name in
which
vain.
Which I think that language of take still makes sense, but it's not how we understand it.
Yeah, so that is a way that I think some translations say it now, is do not take the Lord's name in vain. So it does make sense. You just have to understand exactly what that means. Mm-hmm. And so the way that she explains it is that when God sets apart his people, Israel, to be his people among the nations, that they are, that he marks them off with his name, and he kind of like stamps them. And I think she uses the imagery of like an imaginary tattoo that's on them, and kind of saying like, these people will bear my name and they will be my representatives.
Yeah, the ultraviolet ink.
Yeah, the ultraviolet, yeah. And so, there it is again. But, so, what I see when I see this, what I kept seeing as I was looking at this passage was that the priests were bearing the Lord's name in vain. And that's where you get into the language of the despising the name of the Lord. And he says, you are profaning my name. Like, he specifically talks about his name throughout this passage. And so that's what really stood out to me. And I really wanted to go in that direction, but I just felt like I had to, there was too much like background information that I would have had to explain.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wasn't sure what to do with like the second half of the sermon for that. So, yeah. And I even took this sermon differently than I usually do, where I went through all of the exegesis first and then connected it to Jesus and then applied, versus like doing mm-hmm. it section by section. So
yeah.
It was interesting. It was fun, but
yeah. Switching it up when it comes to preaching is always, I mean, the reason I wasn't at church this weekend was because I was preaching, and it was a complete switch up for me.
Yeah.
Because it was my first time preaching expository.
Yeah.
Expositorily?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a word, but it is now. It's published.
Expositionally, something like that.
Yeah. First expositional sermon.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, changing it up is always, it's always refreshing,
mm-hmm.
but it also, it keeps not just you on your toes in terms of what's going to happen, but also mm-hmm. it keeps like the congregation on their toes, because they're like, oh, this is a totally different style. Why is he doing that? There's got to be something here that he's really trying to get at.
Yeah. And basically the reason I went with that was because I realized because I broke it up into two sections
mm-hmm.
as I'm looking at it, it's the priests' really bad worship, and then God warns the priests of what will happen if they don't repent, basically. Mm-hmm. And I realized as I was going through and I was starting to apply the first section, I was like, I just think that the second half is going to be more of the same. Like, I don't think it's really going to change the way I apply it. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, let's just talk about how bad the priests were and then say Jesus is the better high priest, and then move on to what does this mean for us and what are the implications of that, and talking about Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, that our sacrifices, that we are living sacrifices,
mm-hmm.
and then going to the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians was my second point for that. Mm-hmm. So
now we both use 2 Corinthians.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was yours the ministry of reconciliation also?
No.
Or was it something else?
No, mine was 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6, which is taking every thought captive.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so I remember that now.
Colossians 2, that works out really well.
That works really well, yeah. That's cool. So, yeah, I think that would have been, the direction that I would have went. I probably would have mm-hmm. talked more about, like, bearing God's name and how, like, the way that we live. So, if we just think about the third commandment as don't use swear words, don't use God's name as a profanity, that's, like, not that hard to do compared to the other 10 commandments. Not saying like, we're not perfect and we're sinful.
Yeah. But I think it's important to understand if it does slip or, you're like you started out in life and you came to Christ later
mm-hmm.
and I mean, old habits die hard and that's still a part of your vernacular. You're not breaking the third commandment. It's, mm-hmm. it's like just, rest assured that you're not breaking like a commandment there in saying that. Yes,
mm-hmm.
definitely don't use God's name as like a curse,
mm-hmm.
Curse word, cuss word, whatever you want to call
it.
I always feel weird saying that, but like it's more of like a, this is part of the sanctification process, and it's not necessarily like a damnable sin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, obviously, you want to avoid doing that. But in reality, if you look at the third commandment as what, and you looked up the name, what was her name again?
The name was Carmen Imes.
Carmen
and
Imes.
That's who I thought it was, because anything Old Testament and like biblical anthropology from the Protestant world, that's usually who I think of.
Oh, okay. Is she at Biola?
Yeah, she's at Biola.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
okay.
I actually attended virtually during COVID a conference on personhood, and she was one of the speakers, and it was her and this dude named John Baer.
Is he the one that wrote the book on God's image that you like a lot, or is that someone else?
No, that was someone else. He wasn't there, which I was really surprised that he wasn't. But no, John Baer, he's an Orthodox priest.
Oh, very interesting. Because their view of like people is, because they have the theosis view that like, I'm going to explain it very poorly.
That's okay. We're not Orthodox.
We're not Orthodox. I apologize to any Orthodox person who is listening to this podcast.
First of all, thank you
for listening to this podcast.
Yes,
I don't know why you are.
Or if you just know a lot about Orthodoxy.
But it's essentially, it really picks up on in 1st or 2nd Peter, where it talks about us, what's the language he uses? Oh, I can't remember it, but... partaking of the divine nature or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So it really picks up on that. So they wouldn't say that we become God, but we become more, but it's like something along those lines. Like even Athanasius says, like, God became man so that man would become God, which is like a very staggering statement. And we don't believe that we can actually become God, because he's the creator and we're the creature, and there is a distinction there that will never be bridged except by Christ.
Yeah.
Anyway, this, we're getting off track a little bit, but it would be very interesting. I would love to hear that discussion, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
their view of like
it was
people.
Really, really good, and he kept it really bare minimum. But it was a very good conference, and actually, Carmen was my favorite out of all of them because alma mater, but also, or at that point, soon to be alma mater.
Yeah,
but like, it was the way that she presented everything. I was like, that's genius. And don't ask me to recount it, because I do not know what she said, but I just remember thinking, wow, that was really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Carmen Imes, she actually just came out with a new book about God's image, which I have yet to get, which is very strange that I don't have it. But yeah, so check out Carmen Imes. Just in general, she's very, very good at Old Testament anything, especially when it comes to the law. So that, I'm just going to end the shameless plug there.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, so her, if we look at it through the way that she, like the third commandment through the way that she talks about it, it's essentially anytime you sin, you're breaking the third commandment, because are living in a way that is not bearing the Lord's name correctly.
Oh, that's
so
a
it's,
good way to put it.
Yeah, so it's like, if you think of like an ambassador for like a country, like if you're an ambassador of the United States and you're in the UK and you do something that is against the interests of the United States, you would be a bad ambassador.
Yeah.
Because, well, if we're Christ's ambassadors and we bear his name, if we do something against the interests of Christ, we would be a bad ambassador and would then be, I would say, bearing the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's,
which is,
like, that's like Sermon on the Mount level of like bar
of
setting.
Connecting, yeah. So it's, yeah, it's like a super, super high calling and thinking. And yeah, so one of the ways that I talk about that when I was at Creekside, which is a local ministry here, Creekside Ministries, with young adults. And we were, and I was walking them through the Lord's Prayer and how Jesus, the first petition in that is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, which hallowed isn't really a typical word we use in our vernacular. Neither is the word vernacular, but the common words that we use today, hallowed isn't, but what it means is like be set apart as holy, like may your name in my mind be set apart as holy. And that's like the opposite of that. That is basically the third commandment. Like, may I bear your name well, and may I represent you well to the world. So yeah, it's just, so anyway, I really, like, that's a really cool topic that I like to talk about, mm-hmm. but I just felt like I would have had to provide a lot of, like, context to say, like, this is what the, because I couldn't just say the priests are breaking the third commandment. I would have had to explain what I mean by the third commandment mm-hmm. and then biblically defend that that's why I think that's what the third commandment means.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I just felt like that was going to take up too much time in the sermon, and there would have been a lot of things we wouldn't have gotten to.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, too, I was like, am I just trying to sound really smart? Like,
that's all.
Sometimes
yeah.
I have to crucify that of like, you know, it's okay to not come up with something like earth shattering for people to hear. It's
yeah.
like, oh, I've never thought of that before. I've never heard that before. And I was like, you know, I can just talk about it more than that, and that'll be fine. So
there's the earth shattering.
Yeah, there you
so
go.
So for any earth shattering statements, always come here.
Yeah, always come to more than that.
Especially when Trevor's preaching.
Yes. So yeah, and I think I still got the points across that I wanted to get across mm-hmm. in the sermon. So.
So what was your main overarching point that you were trying to convey using, especially because this was like a non-standard format for you.
Yes.
What was the major point that you were trying to get at mm. at the very end of the sermon? So like we go home and you're like, oh, that's what he was doing.
Mm. Yeah. So it was mostly that just as the priests, so I had to go back to like Israel represents God to the nations.
Mm-hmm.
And then within Israel, the priests represent God to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the same way, we as Christians represent God to the rest of the world.
Okay.
And kind of taking that calling highly, because that's what the priests were not doing mm-hmm. in their day.
Mm-hmm.
And so talking about how, and it was really cool, one of the commentators pointed out, it was very helpful in the very beginning where God says, he calls them out and says, to you priests who despise my name, in verse 6, and the word despise there is the same word that Esau uses, or that is used to describe Esau in Genesis 25 when it says Esau despised his birthright.
Hmm.
And especially so, in the context with him just talking previously about Jacob and Esau mm-hmm. and the, you know, the election there that's happening
yeah.
that we love to talk about, election.
You said that the look that you gave me there was like...
I was like, yeah, we don't have to talk about any
which
of that.
So I had home group last night,
yeah.
so not hearing the sermon was difficult to lead home group.
Yeah.
But we'd spent like 15 minutes on that.
Yeah.
Just because it was like, I forget how we tied it in.
Oh,
but
yeah.
like just how, what election was versus predestination. And
yeah.
A couple other different things, like mm-hmm. in-house discussions within the church and how
yeah.
they're healthy.
How
they're
different
not actually...
people view what both of those terms mean. Because you can't get away from either of them because they're both
yeah.
biblical terms.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, but how in-house discussions aren't a bad thing. They're not,
yeah.
they might sound divisive.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really not. They're
and people
just...
get passionate about it, too.
Yeah.
And so some people, yeah, some people get very passionate about that. And so
mm-hmm.
it can sound very, like, yeah, intense.
Mm-hmm.
But we do understand that these are in-house discussions.
Yes, and that's the big thing to understand. But, like, when it comes to despise,
mm-hmm.
It especially in the context there that you just mm-hmm. mentioned, like, what does it actually mean? Because I don't know, unless I'm forgetting, Raphael didn't mention what that meant.
Mm.
So in your study, what did the actual like thing of the word despise mean
yeah.
and why he used it there?
So the way that I described it is like when you have a phone that doesn't work, what's the common word people use for a phone that doesn't work? Do you know this? Like if it like no electronics work, it won't turn on.
It's dead.
Yeah, but it's also called a brick. Have you heard that before?
No. When I hear brick phone, I think like the old like
old Nokia
phones
yeah. that are like indestructible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true too, I guess.
That's where
but
I
yeah,
go with it. But yeah, keep going.
I've heard of like a phone like it's bricked. Like it doesn't work. Because essentially it's as good as a brick. Like if
okay.
it can't turn on, it can't do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of the way that the priests are viewing like the Lord's table is like, this is worthless.
Okay.
It's not doing anything for us. And
okay.
that's how Esau viewed his birthright. Like
mm-hmm.
this is, he gave it no mind. He
mm-hmm.
didn't care about it at all.
Yeah.
And you can see that in the way that he treats it in Genesis 25.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I forget your question, but yeah. Anyway,
just
so that
the use of that word. The use
despised.
Of that word. What does it actually mean? Because like that's one of the harder things too, and why, like we brought up the debate over election and predestination and things like that. Part of the reason why those debates happen is because of different understandings of those words or different implied understandings of those words when we're talking. So like we use the word despise and like in the modern context, we're like, oh no, we hate this. And it's like
in the Hebrew,
in the Hebrew, that's just,
that's not exactly what it means.
It's, it's worthless.
Yeah.
Where election to you is something different to me. So like it's more or less like whenever we're reading scripture, we want to make sure that we're not reading
our own culture into it.
Own culture, but like kind of like the talking past each other. Like we don't want to read past ourselves. We want to understand what this author is actually getting at by using the word despise.
Yeah.
Especially when we have a very specific understanding of it.
Yeah. Well, and also especially looking at the context that he's and the reason why I believe that that's what Malachi is doing and pointing back to Esau is because that's what he was talking about in the section right before, too.
Yeah, it would make sense.
It would, like, it just, that's what one of the commentators said, and I was like, wow, this is really good. This is very helpful.
Sometimes, like, those type of observations about passages, I'm like, I don't know why more people don't think about that.
Yeah.
Like, despise and Esau, okay.
Yeah.
He has the whole story of Jacob and Esau in mind here.
Yeah.
And that's... like that's kind of probably going to revisit itself later in the book of Malachi the whole idea of Jacob and Esau and Jacob or Esau despising his birthright.
Yeah, and also and I don't know if I made this as explicit as I probably should have in my sermon, but talking about how the priest's problem is that they're despising God's steadfast love for them, which is what God's first dispute with them is. And so if you look at the different disputes, they all flow from the first one that Raph talked about last week of God has loved you with a steadfast love and his love is holy and perfect and he has never sinned against you, and yet this is how you treat him, essentially. And they all flow from that, and it's kind of like if you would just like the first section, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5 is like the root problem, and everything else is just a fruit of that root problem, which we talked about that a little bit last week when I was talking about my sermon and how I was going to convey that. But
and like whenever, just to draw the parallel between Esau and Israel, like Israel, or Esau I should say first, Esau despised his birthright and Israel was then despising the covenant that they made with God. So that birthright is actually just another name for covenant.
Yeah.
It's just more familial and something that a father does with his sons rather than something that God does with all of humanity.
Yeah.
So I think that that's an important distinction to remember is that, or non-distinction, is that birthright and covenant are synonymous
because,
in this context.
You know, the way that it was supposed to go, you could say, I don't know about supposed to, I use supposed to like loosely here, but the birthright, like culturally, is supposed to go through Esau because he's the older brother.
Yeah.
And that's, but then God, in the way that he uses his upside down kingdom, you know, used the younger brother instead of the older brother for the covenant to move through. And he does that in various other ways as you look at that. But yeah.
Yeah.
I forget where I was going with that, but
that's okay. That's okay. And I think that's just a really good tie-in to Jesus. The upside down kingdom.
Yeah, exactly.
And how Jesus wasn't the Jewish Messiah in the Jewish understanding of the Messiah. Like it was a
He was a suffering servant instead of the king that they were expecting. He was a king, but in a very different way than they were expecting.
And at the same time, he took it to the next level, and he made him not a king. It was like a he took a servant's role, not just as a, like what he was doing within his ministry, but even before that as a carpenter.
Yeah.
Like
that's a good point.
That's just like a carpenter, even in our culture, a carpenter is not a very highly sought after field or trade to get into. It's difficult. You got long hours. You got
long hours, hard work. You can usually only do it for so many years because then your body will start to break down if you do it for too long. And
if you're like us,
then you go into management and
But then, like, if you live in an area like we do, the summers are brutal because they're humid,
really hot. Yeah,
so you have to, you know, you got to bake in the sun all day and in the humidity, and it's not desirable. And that's exactly the trade that the Messiah came and did before his ministry. And I think that it's like, this is even the lowliest of trades and of jobs is
exalted.
Able to be exalted for something.
Or even looking at, I talked about this a little bit too in my sermon, is that Jesus doesn't stop becoming a servant after his resurrection either. So he, you know, his whole life is one of service, and he dies, you know, a criminal's death. He's resurrected, and then in his ascension, in Romans, it tells us that he continues to intercede for us to the Father. So he doesn't stop becoming a high priest, and he doesn't stop becoming a servant, because he's still interceding for us with him.
Yeah.
So he's still serving us in that, and a really good book on that is The Heart of Christ by Thomas Godwin, where he talks about that. Oh, it's just excellent. He's a Puritan.
Favorite. There's two book recommendations in one podcast.
Book recommendations, but yeah, just to close things up a little bit here, the other thing that I wish I would have brought in a little more is how God talks about in verse 11 of chapter 1 in Malachi. He says, "My name will be great among the nations from the rising of the sun to its setting. Incense and pure offerings will be presented in my name in every place because my name will be great among the nations," says the Lord of Armies. And especially thinking of like Israel's election as God's chosen people and how they were meant to be a blessing to the rest of the world. And so by bearing God's name in vain, they were neglecting that and actually going against God's plan for the world, which is that all nations would come to know God. But God still worked through through Christ to make that happen. And just seeing that hopeful view of like God's name being spread throughout all nations, and how we see in Revelation that that will happen, that there will be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping with us in the new heavens and the new earth. So,
yeah, it's a good place to stop.
Yeah.
So, and just kind of conclude and make sure that you all know that this conversation, even though, you know, Trevor and I have a good relationship and we can like riff off of each other pretty well. This isn't a replacement for being in church on Sunday or being involved in a local church. Definitely not a replacement for the Sunday sermon. So we encourage you to get involved in a local church, even if it's not City Church. We just encourage that. But if you would like to come check out City Church, we would love to meet you. We would love to see how God and what God is doing in your life, as well as how you can get incorporated and plugged in here serving. So, and really bearing God's name well. So, with that, thank you for an explanation and going into a little bit of the third commandment and what that actually means. So, thank you, and we will see you all next week.
God bless.